This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
You all have this paper, right? And on the one side it says, "The stream flowing from the temple, Good News Translation." You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to tell you that story. I'm using that image, that picture, to illustrate a bit what I see can happen to women, single or married, when we allow the Holy Spirit in us to bless the people around us, at home, with our husbands, with our children, in difficult situations, people around us, like when you're driving, plowing, busing, whatever. And this passage speaks about life, about water, about spontaneity. And I'm not going to read that to you. I won't have you read it. At first, I thought we would just read it. But I decided to do something that my father, there was 12 of us children. They had come from Russia, my dad and mom and their three oldest. And then there were 9 more children born in Canada. Anyway, he would tell us Bible stories every day. I think, I don't know that he would have missed. Seems to me he told every day. And once in a while, he couldn't remember the story because he was taking us through the whole Bible. And so he said, I'm going to just read it to you. Well, we allowed him to do that for a while, but then after a while, we just liked it so much better when he'd tell stories. So I will tell you this story, and then you can read it later to yourself. And it's a story that Ezekiel told in this way. "The man," he said, "took me to the temple. A small river was flowing from under the temple." That's where it started. Rivers don't usually flow from under a temple. "And the man was with a measuring rod, measured 560 yards down the stream, and he said, told Ezekiel, wade into it. Then he took me 560 yards again. It came to my knees." First the ankle, then the knees. "He measured another 560 yards, and it came up to my waist." Wow. "And then he took me another 560 yards, and I had to swim. And then he took me," I guess by swimming, doesn't say that, "he took me to the bank of the river, and soon I saw many trees. The man said, 'This river will bring life to the Dead Sea.'" Can you imagine? That's the impossible. "Fishermen will fish abundant fish," not just a few, abundant fish, "many different fish. The trees will bring food to the people." And the last sentence says, "And the leaves of these trees will be used for healing people." To me, it's a picture of us, of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. And sometimes, as we're completely sold out to the Lord, there can be rivers of blessing can freely flow from us to other people. And you know, as women, when women come into the presence of men, something happens to men. They are softer. I remember when our girls were taking flying lessons, and I'd go with them to the shack where the pilots were. And after a while, the men in that shack told our instructor, "Don't bring those women in here anymore, because then we can't swear, we can't smoke, and we can't tell bad stories." Well, we hadn't said a word to them. But, you know, it kept them from those kinds of things. Well, he arranged, and the instructor was very nice for us. He arranged, he came to our house, and then we took off right from on the ice with the airplane. And we didn't have to drive all the way to town to go into that shack where there was lots of smoke. They didn't have any building that was smoke-free at that time. So things happen. And another time I've thought of this, we were at an airport way up in the Arctic, and our girls with their dresses and their parkas on top of their dresses and slacks underneath, and there were some young guys there. And all of a sudden the young guy says, "Oh, we can't even look at those. They're angels. They're angels." What was it? I think we as women make a difference even to strangers as they are around us. I knew that something was happening in their hearts. And this river in Ezekiel, it comes right from the temple. There was no natural source. And all spiritual life and our growth begins with the presence of God. And water is often associated with the Holy Spirit in us. And it can bubble up. And you know, sometimes when God calls you to something, it's just ankle deep. It's easy to walk, joyful. Sometimes he calls you and it's a little deeper and a little more, you know, challenging, and it goes up to your knee and then up to your waist. But sometimes it causes you to swim where it's huge, and the only way that you can manage it is if the Holy Spirit is directing you. And that takes such a trust and a spontaneity that is exhilarating. And that's what God calls us to do in all of our lives. As I was thinking about this, sometimes we're up, you know, we're above our waist and we're swimming when some things are difficult. Maybe you're thinking of something for yourself, an example. But my one example, this was quite a few years ago. My house was spotless. Now, that's unusual. I mean, it was shining. And I was so happy. It was so clean. And all of a sudden, I realized our girls are away for youth retreats. And Claire was gone for the whole weekend. I had the clean house to myself. And I told Naomi Lehman at the camp, I said, my house is clean. I have nothing to do. I'm going home all weekend. I'm going to be there and I'm going to read. So I drive home right from what I told Naomi. And I get there and I sat in my big blue chair where I do have my devotions. I thought, first I'll have a time with the Lord and then I'll get those books. And I had picked out books I was going to read. And I hadn't even done much reading in the Bible yet. All of a sudden, I looked up and there was a woman standing at the doorway, red-haired, slim, tall woman. And she was weeping. And she said, "Mrs. Schnupp," and I didn't know who she was, "Mrs. Schnupp, can I stay with you all weekend?" And I jumped up from my chair and I didn't know her. And I went to her and I said, "Tell me why you want to stay here." And then after she was able to talk, she said, "My daughter has cancer in her leg and she's hurting terribly, and Children's Aid wants me to send her to Winnipeg and get an operation. I don't want to take her there. I don't want her to have an operation. I want to take her to Mexico. They're the ones that can help her. And I know that if I do that, Children's Aid is going to take her away from me." I didn't know what to do. I was really swimming. Claire wasn't there to ask advice, and I didn't have time to call somebody to pray with me. And then finally, I know it was the Lord. I said, "Well, where's your little girl?" "She's in the van. It was winter. It was cold. She's sleeping." I said, "Well, you can't leave her there. Bring her in." And then when she came in, she was limping. She could barely walk with that leg over the threshold on my... It's not very high. And anyway, then I said, "Well, you can't stay here unless you call your husband," because nobody knew where she was. I said, "Does your husband know you're here?" "No." She was trying to hide so Children's Aid wouldn't take her daughter. And so she called it. She finally said, "Okay, I will call my husband." She told him, and then I invited him for supper. And then I said, "You have to call your pastor. I think you have to let him know what you want to do." To make a long story short, all that weekend, this little girl would be in such pain, and she'd whimper. And then I put my hand on her, and we'd pray. And then an hour later, she'd just, and all Friday evening, all day, Saturday. I think she slept at night. I can't remember that. And her husband came for supper, and then they started talking more. And then Sunday evening, she said, I can go home now. That whole time, I was to ask, the only thing I asked the Lord while she was there, I said, give her wisdom, what she should do, how she should handle this. I didn't feel I could tell her what she should do. And then by Sunday evening, she said, I will go home, and I'll go to Children's Aid on Monday morning. She arranged then, they agreed that she could take her to Winnipeg, leave her daughter in the hospital, and she'd go to Mexico herself, and she'd bring the medicine back, and they would do both, medicine from Mexico and treatment. About 5 years ago, I finally was remembering her, and I wondered, where is she? They'd moved out of Dryden. And they said, oh, she got better, she finished school, she got married, and she's a missionary in Mexico. So sometimes the Lord just does way above, asks for way above. You even have any, don't have anything that you can do. And then he also, eventually you hear some answers. Eventually. Remember, as believers, the Holy Spirit in us will help us to do the impossible stuff. And imagine the river. It moves to the Dead Sea. Now that's an impossible situation. And its waters are healed. Everything it touches is healed. And it lives. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how does God do all this? And I remember two young people that were in our life about 40 years ago, First Nations young people. And both of them, when they accepted the Lord, they meant it right from day one. And eventually, over the next 5 years, everyone in their family, all their older brothers and sisters, became believers. And it was just an amazing thing. God can make all things to grow, even if it seems impossible. And so at this point, I just want to encourage you. When you see impossible situations in your life happening right now, or in your world, or in your country, don't give up on praying. I remember back when I was a little 10-year-old girl. A teenager. I felt that I should pray for Khrushchev. Remember, he was that awful leader in Russia that just was really bringing bad things happening to the Christians there. But I don't know, I felt so strongly I should pray for Khrushchev. And at that time, I was too shy to tell anybody else, to ask them to agree with me. I just prayed. And then years later, I found a tract, and the tract said that Khrushchev, it gave his testimony. He became a believer. I don't know if it's true. I mean, it was a tract from some missionaries from Russia. So I believe he did. And this year, I've been wondering. I mean, I just agonize for those people that are being killed by ISIS. And I had never thought of praying for them. And all of a sudden, I just have felt this last whole year, pray for ISIS. I have no idea what's happening out there, whether anything, but I believe that sometimes God places something very, very special in your heart, and can we believe that God is even there? But what do you do if life is hard and you are not bubbling? What do you do? I was there last week in Thailand. I was back to that crazy lie that I believed that what I have to say is not important. It's not significant. It doesn't make any difference in people's lives. And I knew it was a lie because I've known it. And so I woke up Claire at night. We were in Thailand. And I woke him up and I said, Claire, you've got to pray for me. I just feel I have nothing to offer here. And he said, oh, Clara. No, he didn't really say it very much that way. He said, sure, I'll pray for you. And he did. Remember, James 5:16. If you have any difficulty, if you have any problem, if you have anything, pray. No, tell somebody on this earth. Sure, you can tell the Lord. You can say it to yourself, but find one other person. And so he prayed for me. And something happened in my heart. And it's good the Lord did a number on me before. When we were there the first week teaching, it was just Claire and I. And usually we tell the students, and they were 18, to sign up to at least for 1 hour during that week to talk about things in their own personal things in their life. So I made a chart for Claris, and then figured the women were assigned there different times in that week, and I made another one for Claire. And so I had a woman signed up right away, and then all of a sudden one of the young guys, I think he was 23, he said, Clara, could I spend an hour with you? Because Claire and I already had shared our stories with and things that happening between us and all that kind of thing. And he said, could I spend an hour? I said, sure. And by the end of that day, 10 out of the 12 men signed up to talk to me, besides Claire. They wanted to talk to Claire, but they wanted to hear my advice too. You know, I'm a grandma to them. And it was awesome. And the Lord I just felt that I had something very important to give each one of those men, plus the six girls. There were six women and 12 men. But 10 of them had they heard from each other. And then I think they thought it was sort of interesting. But I went to their hearts. It was important, right? But if I wouldn't have shared with Claire, I would have been down on myself all week long. And here I feel I was swimming. I mean, I was really swimming, but sort of enjoying it. So, is it how many minutes? Oh, good. Okay. There's another verse that I use. I use James 5:16 every day. I'm positive. Agree with somebody on heavy things you're facing, and then agree and pray and expect God to answer. It might not be now. It might not be for 10 months, and it could be 10 years. But agree with James 5:16 and Matthew 18:19. That's a broken record for me. Agree with somebody. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, I think I can quote it, two or three are gathered. I know that one so well. Are agreed on anything touching this on this earth. Anything. Do you believe it? Just agree and tell the Father. And he loves our spontaneity. Because he made us spontaneous. He wants us to do it. And it's on this earth. Everything that I pray about is happening on this earth, not in heaven. I mean, heaven, I'm not sure. But anyway, on this earth. And usually it's hard things. I mean, it's facing some right now. You have the other, on the other side of that, Ezekiel, is a chart. Now, I'm going to give you a few ideas on what I've done with my life chart to give you an idea what I'd like now for you to write down as soon as something comes to your mind, and make sure you all have a paper. They made some more. We didn't have quite enough, but they made some more here. But you won't be able to write everything down. So take it home with you and add things to it. Now, I'll start with the one on the top right, my way out dreams, the sky's the limit. You know, I did this 40 years ago, and you know what I had in there? I found it just last week. I've been looking at it and I prayed in Thailand, please, Lord, help me find that sheet, because I'm not very good at filing, as my husband knows. It's just not my gift, but I have other gifts. So, but my way out dream, you know what I wrote 40 years ago? That all the staff will be happy all the time. Now, I was so unrealistic. Minor, right now, I did this last summer, 2016, and I added some in Thailand. But anyway, I'll give you more reasonable ones. So my way out dreams, the sky's the limit. Visit each family for a week. We have five families. Visit my sisters two times this year, and I'm seeing them next week. I have six sisters left. All my five brothers are gone, died, and one sister. No, then I have five left. Five left. I have five left. One sister is gone. So I'm seeing her next week, and I don't know if I'll get it done before December after that. Become very comfortable witnessing about the Lord. Get a schedule for myself for keeping a journal every day. That's sort of a way out because I'm not very organized. But I'm going to try it. I'm going to work on it. At least it's a goal. I mean, not a goal. A goal is no good. A desire. Because if you make it a goal and it doesn't happen, then you get discouraged. So, you know, be a little bit more smart than I was way back, 40 years. Then some of the settled things in my life. That might be a little harder for you to think about. This is what mine is. Claire's and my understanding of each other's needs. I feel like we're doing pretty good. But we've been married 57 years. So anyone here that's just starting out, you know, takes that long. And then another one is my exercise, morning exercise program. It's going, I almost do it every day. It's a good exercise. And then things, that's all I wrote there. Things in my life, it's sort of similar now, things in my life that have been normalized, sort of. Feel comfortable counseling, actually enjoy it. It had to be done again last week, you know. I needed somebody to pray with me. I relate to my oldest sister as a peer. She's 95, and she was my mother, because my mother had babies every year, and so she never got married, and she loves to tell me what to do and how to do it, you know. But now she tells, especially when it comes to my grandchildren. She has advice that I'm supposed to give to my grandchildren. I said, you can tell them. No, you, it's your job. And then she specifically says what she thinks every grandchild should become. But now I can say no, and I relate to my older sister as a peer, and it's more fun for me, and I think for her too. She doesn't have to feel such responsibility. Now, big problems and concerns. I'm not going to tell you all of mine. When I wrote this, it was about my eye. My right eye was causing a bleed, and they weren't sure if that was a tumor or what. So I was praying about that last July, and it's all taken care of. Not sure what happened. And I write this, I think, I pray this every night, for all our 27 grandchildren, that they will love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. Oh, that's a big one. I prayed that for our children. Now I'm praying it for my grandchildren and our two greats. And I agree with that on Matthew 18:19. Most of these I have here. I agree with somebody. And James 5:16. And then the deep, deep, deep anxieties that I can't share here. That means when you write it down, is it something that you are just terribly burdened about, that you just don't know what to do? That would be the deep, deep, a little bit deeper than the big problems and prayer concerns. So I'll give you, how much time do we?
8 minutes.
Okay, we'll have a little more time here. I'll give you 3 minutes to write down whatever comes to your mind. Don't think hard. Just the first thing, if you have a pencil, it's nice to write with that, but you can write with ink. And there will be a few extra, if you need extra for yourself or a friend. Somebody had asked for some. So Hannah made us extra copies. And then I'm going to have you meet with who you met with right in the beginning. Share at least one thing from either your prayer concern or your way out dream, whichever you want to do today. while you're still writing, on the deep, deep anxieties, there's one other chapter I use there, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and where the enemy was too big, and then they just started singing. They didn't pray anymore, they just started singing. I'm doing that right now when a certain anxiety comes to me, a very specific one, whether it's the middle of the night or whether it's driving, I sing. And Claire's singing with me. Sing when the anxiety gets too deep. Okay, now the next 2 minutes, why don't you stand up and share at least one thing. It doesn't matter which one you're taking from it. Anxieties or the sky. Sky is the limit. Way out dreams. What do you want to do? What do you long for? Go ahead, stand up and share with the person, that two people or at least no more than three. It can be three. Okay, I guess that's all the time you have now, because you have to go to another meeting. I have one other thing I want to say. One other thing. I talked about spontaneity. I want you to all, each one of you, to do something spontaneous today that you wouldn't have thought of. If you're married, tell your husband something really sweet. If you're single or married, call your dad. Tell him one nice thing about him. Single or married, see a stranger here in this building and say something to that person. So it's just one of these things you can choose. Or if you go to a store, pay for his groceries. Whoever's in front of you. But make sure that you know how much is in the basket. Somebody did that for me one time in Florida. Okay. No, Hannah has something to you.
Thank you, Clara. I had the privilege of hearing her speak twice, and it was wonderful. You encouraged us to dig deep into God until we're over our heads and have to swim. But you also gave us some tools for what to do when we get there. So let's keep that in mind, her encouragement to pray and sing and turn to Jesus when we really are over our heads.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.